And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice.
Panarin heads for Hollywood as the NHL prepares for the Olympic break. Hello and welcome to another episode of NHL Fantasy on Ice, Week 18, Mailbag Edition. Nick Alberga, Jake Hahn, Chris Meany, and Pete Jensen. Jay, could you imagine Artemi Panarin in Seattle? That would have been something special, but it didn't happen.
I can't picture it, to be honest. I can picture him in LA, which is where we're going to see him here very shortly. Good to be here, Nick. And maybe we didn't get the quantity for the trade freeze deadline. Some were calling it maybe a mini deadline, but we did get the quality, Nick. We did get the big name moved in Artemi Panarin. Very exciting for the LA Kings.
Hey, I don't know about you. I got that text from Pete Jensen, Nick Bukestad to New Jersey. Don't sleep on that move either. But yeah, that is the talk of the town. Artemi Panarin, vacation over. You're off to Hollywood, and he's got to help this team, and he will help this team immensely. Bottom five in goals for, bottom five on the power play. Who's the happiest guy in LA right now? Is it the GM? Is it the head coach? Is it Adrian Kempe?
Well, I think it's I even saw a video of Warren Fogle, who was signing some autographs for fans, and he found out the trade while he was signing autographs for fans. He seemed very happy. So I would say the entire team is extremely happy in LA. Anybody that's going to get to play with Artemi Panarin, they need a boost on the power play. Meany, I think we maybe saw the writing on the wall here for the LA Kings as the possible destination for Artemi Panarin, and we knew they were going to be a desperate team. They get him locked up, very manageable number for the next couple of years, and we said it, this team needed an injection of offense, and they're going to get it in Artemi Panarin. They better make the playoffs now, though, Meany. That's no guarantee. Bringing in the bread man, though, should help them try to get in here.
Yeah, good call by you and Nick. I think you both said last week that this was a good fit. The Kings certainly need it. You know, Alberga brings up the fact that the Kings are bottom five in goals, or bottom five in power play percentage since the start of last season. And this year, they have the third lowest shooting rate. So what do we know about Panarin? This is a guy that is among the leaders in primary assists since he joined the Rangers. He's seventh. He's top five in power play assists. He's sixth in power play points since he entered the league in 2015. He's fifth overall in points. So he can elevate the guys around him. And when I look at the Kings, they have a bunch of shooters. Adrian Kempe, Kevin Fiala, Quinton Byfield. They need a playmaker. They're probably going to roll five forwards on the power play, right, Nick? And they haven't had a power play quarterback on that unit in quite some time. And Panarin can act as that guy. So I really like the fit.
Yeah, it's a massive fit, and I got to credit the LA Kings organization as well. The legend himself, Andre Kopitar, is retiring this season. I know this team needed a center, but like, why not? Why not go get Panarin to lose to the Edmonton Oilers in the first round again, Jake?
Well, maybe it won't be in the first round here, Nick. Maybe we get a little bit of a different. We were talking about this a little on the Monday show, and there's a lot of teams that could win the Pacific right now based on the math. We expect a Vegas or an Edmonton to crank it up, but they really haven't just yet. Let's say Anaheim goes and wins the Pacific. I know, maybe a little bit of a long shot, and then we get Edmonton and Vegas playing each other in the first round, LA in a wild card. There's paths here where LA can maybe avoid Edmonton. I'm sure they would, but either way, this is a move that I think LA had to make, not only for the now, but for the next couple of years. You mentioned Andre Kopitar retiring. They need some sort of life in that offense, which has been, to me, very stale all season long. So this gives them a shot not only to make the playoffs, but maybe even take a run at that top spot. It was kind of funny, though, Nick, that they lose right after the trade. You get all excited, and then they lose at home to the Seattle Kraken and kind of look like the team they've looked like all year.
You're right. To the team that we find out here on this early Thursday, and Dave Pagnotta reported it yesterday, who were really, really in big time on Artemi Panarin, didn't get him, offered him a lot of money, we'll say, and Panarin elects to go to Tinseltown. But across the board means the fantasy value is there. Quinton Byfield is the guy I'm looking at. Like, it's been a very disappointing season for that file. Maybe getting Panarin helps out, but I wonder where he's deployed to start. Like, is it with Byfield? Is it with Laferriere? Is it with Kopitar? But I think across the board, it boosts this team, including the crease with Darcy Kemper, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the stingiest teams at 5-5. They don't give up a whole lot. They're among the leaders in 5-5 shots percentage. So they've been like this for years. It's just the goals have kind of dried up, and you guys alluded to it. They play the Edmonton Oilers every year, and you know they just get outscored. But I would put him with Kempe. Like, I'm thinking Kempe is your best shooter, and Panarin is a playmaker. So see what kind of chemistry they have, or you could put him on that second line with Fiala. They've done a few things over the past couple of weeks since they've traded Philip Deneau with their line. But the biggest thing for me is I know he's going to be on that power play with those big boys. They don't have a defenseman really to put on there, Jake. So you could look at some guys to buy, like Fiala, Kempe maybe. And you're right, Nick. Byfield is that guy who really struggled. And over the last month or so, he's looked a lot better. And getting a guy like Panarin will certainly help them.
I think Meany is right, too. If you're an owner of some of the surrounding casts, Kempe, Fiala, any of these names, maybe even a Laferriere, depending on how they want to use him here moving forward, I think you're going to get an immediate boost, certainly on that power play. And they've been running a power play, Nick, with Corey Perry and Andre Kuzmenko on it. I got to think one of those guys is getting bumped. Maybe this is bad news for a Corey Perry. He probably goes back down to maybe a third line role off that first power play. So, you know, somebody's going to have to maybe take a hit. And also, I don't think the Kings are done here. They've kept enough space. The Rangers ate some money. We know they need a center. I would not be surprised once the trade freeze is lifted, and I believe it's February 22nd is that date, that the LA Kings continue to be active here and try to add to this roster as much as they can.
Now, fellas, we open up the mailbag, and conversely, a big question, what does this mean for the New York Rangers? Well, it means a sell-off is underway, but you look at their new look top six, and we know Panarin missed the last couple games anyways, but Miller, Zibanejad, Perreault, Gabe Perreault is a guy to look at. Will Cooley's on the second line with Trocheck and Lafreniere. What's your expectation rest of season for the New York Rangers here means?
My expectations are pretty low. You know, since they've lost Igor Shesterkin, they've allowed the most goals in the NHL by far. So it's like a 13-14 game stretch. I don't know what the future it looks like for Vincent Trocheck. If I'm Chris Drury, I'm not done here. You know, I'm going to continue to ship off some guys. They're without Adam Fox. If they move on from Trocheck, Jake, there's probably only two players that I care about, and it's JT Miller and Mika Zibanejad. Those guys are probably going to continue to play together, and yeah, you'll see some more ice time from Will Cooley, see some more ice time for Gabe Perreault, but I don't think that these are guys that you can trust consistently in fantasy. They're probably guys that maybe you can buy in a dynasty format.
I think when you see spots like this open up, okay, Panarin's gone, so anybody that's playing with Panarin is going to take a hit, and Meany mentioned some young guys maybe getting a chance for the Rangers. That's where I'm going to look. Obviously, it's not going to be a fantasy gold mine here, Nick. They're not going to be a great team. They're going to continue to lose. But even if you're losing, doesn't mean we can't find at least some fantasy value. So I'm not jumping to pick these guys up. But the first couple weeks out of the break, I'll have my eye on what the Rangers are doing in terms of deployment and also how many more players leave this roster. Panarin could be, you know, step one, and we could see a couple more players leave. And someone's got to get the power play time and the front end ice time. So I'll still have my eye on combos, see if we could find any sort of value there.
Guys, I'm always looking for value in fantasy hockey, and for some reason, because maybe it's the New York Rangers, I expect this team to go on a heater to finish off the season, because nobody expects it, and that's exactly what the New York Rangers do. They're going to miss the playoffs. They can put all the letters out they want. They still have talent on this roster. You're right. Where is Igor Shesterkin? That's my number one question with this team. This guy's been missing for a month and a half. He gets the most money in the league out of any goalie. Fox has been MIA. But those two guys specifically down the stretch, Perreault and Cooley. Cooley's coming off a really good year. It's been a tough year after the contract extension for him. Lafreniere's trying to find his way again. And Gabe Perreault, again, getting those type of minutes. He's a young player. There's motivation there. I would not sleep on this team to finish off the fantasy season, Jake.
Meany, Nick mentions Igor Shesterkin, and no one knows where he is, no update on him. Maybe we get one, but I mean, what's he coming back to at this point, right? It's And do they entertain trading John Quick here at the deadline? I think there's going to be some teams interested in the backup goalie market. I think that's something to follow when the trade freeze is lifted. I don't think the big names are going to be out there to get traded, but you look at a lot of teams that just need depth. They just need another guy to go to, and Jonathan Quick could be one of those names, Meany. So him among all the other top names that we mentioned for the Rangers, I think this roster could continue to get stripped down. Maybe Nick's right. Maybe they get that boost and, you know, young players step up. They're a little hungrier, but I don't even know. Do we even see Igor Shesterkin? Because again, what's he coming back to post-Olympic break?
There's really no rush to bring him back unless they do go on some sort of run after the break. Maybe Mika Zibanejad, you know, catches fire in the Olympics, or JT Miller for Team USA, but those two guys can't carry this team alone. I mean, look where they are with Panarin having a good season. I know he's missed the last couple games. I think Trocheck is a guy that you can go and get. I have him. I'm concerned about his role moving forward. He loses his guy in Panarin. The power play is not going to be as good. So if he does get traded to another team, I expect him to have a significant role, whether that's in the top six in Minnesota or in Carolina. So I would hang on to him and maybe buy him. It's a little bit of a risky move, but I go back to the Pacific here, guys. Nick, when's the last time you've seen something like this? The Ottawa Senators dead last in the Atlantic with 27 wins, and then you have the Vegas Golden Knights first in the Pacific with fewer wins than the Ottawa Senators, which is remarkable to think about. I think this division is completely up for grabs, and the Kings at plus 450 to win it. I still think they need to make another move. I agree with you, Jake. But, Nick, like I think that there's four or five teams here that you can make a case for getting hot after the break to maybe win this division.
Right for the taking. And as you know, we have On the Money brought to you by Bet365. We're going to scour all things Los Angeles Kings, from a Stanley Cup future to a division title. Do they make the Stanley Cup playoffs? I think Jake was important to bring up that point. It's no foregone conclusion. They lose to Seattle. They got a big one without Panarin in the lineup against Vegas on Thursday night, which we'll break down. So a lot of moving parts to that. But certainly, I think you look at the injury scope. And yeah, it was something I talked about a lot. I was just in Alberta, how different those two divisions are, where you look at the points in the standings and like, what in the world? But you speak of that division, boys, Jonathan Huberdeau, Jake, done for the year. And all I could think about, like, I went to Puckpedia. This guy's still got 5 years left at $10.5 million, and he has just become an afterthought when it comes to fantasy hockey. At 25 points, 10 goals in 50 games, he's done for the season. He needs hip surgery. What a disaster for Jonathan Huberdeau in Calgary.
He scored a nice goal last night, too, against the Edmonton Oilers. And you're thinking, again, it's not going to turn a season around or anything like that, but he scores the goal. I think he had Gridden's stick as well. They were telling the story on the broadcast that he got the teenager's stick, and you know they're kind of smiling, yucking it up, having a good time, beat the Edmonton Oilers, and then you get that kind of news. So, I mean, that has just been a steady decline for that file, and I don't know if any of us expected him to be a 100-point player there, but he's out in Calgary, and I guess that does open up a little bit more of an opportunity. But again, Calgary's not really a team, Nick, we're looking to attack too much here.
I was going to add, too, means like any interest in this top six. They got Sharangovic, Backlund, Coronado, Zari, Kadri, Farabee. The big one for me is Nazem Kadri. I expect this guy to be on the move between now and March 6th. Do you, means?
I'm not 100% sure he will be traded, but I think that they should entertain offers. And I think if there's, you know, obviously a lot of teams need a center, and he could be a great get for a handful of squads. It's just he does have a couple years left. But yeah, if you're the Flames, you need to move on. And I don't have a ton of interest. I think we can attack them from, you know, a props market, because again, with the Pacific, the division is pretty weak, and there's a lot of teams that are giving up a lot of goals. The San Jose Sharks, the Anaheim Ducks, even though these two teams are in playoff contention, they give up a whole lot. The Predators as well. Well, they're 1 point out of a wild card spot. I'm sitting here with 59 points, actually four back of a wild card spot from the Ducks, but they give up a lot as well. So a lot of questions in the mailbag, which, you know, players to buy. And I would be looking at just some teams in the Pacific, because it just seems to be high total goals. But Pete, I mean, you can attack Coronado, Zari, maybe Kadri from a prop standpoint, but it's hard to really get a lot of consistency with this Flames offense.
I think with the Flames, you're going to just maybe pick your spots with them in the betting market to upset some teams, because they still have a pretty well-rounded team, but not super interested in the individual props there. I am interested in this one mailbag question, though. Should I buy low on Darcy Kemper after the Panarin trade? I really like that angle. Kemper has a high ceiling, could maybe be a dark horse to get some playing time in the Olympics for Team Canada if Binnington falters and Logan Thompson isn't 100%. But Kemper has won the Stanley Cup before, and I think it's a really good angle. You could buy him now with a 900 save percentage, and then maybe he finishes like a top 5 to 10 goalie at the end of the year.
I like that, Petey. You'd have to think this sparks the Los Angeles Kings getting a bona fide stud score, even though he's, what, 34-35, and Artemi Panarin's got a lot to bring to the table still. And I think, again, Kopitar's last season, Doughty's going to the Olympics. There's reasons to be fired up for that team. So I like that angle. And speaking of buy guys, like, I think Byfield's on my list, Kadri's on my list, Bob McMahon is maybe the top UFA out there. I think he's going to go somewhere and find some lightning, and he's been on Toronto's top line anyways. Shane Wright's another name that's been out there, I think could be sparked by a deal. Trocheck, I got Matthew Nyes coming off the knee injury, gets 3 weeks off here. Tavares, Stolarz, there's various routes you can look here, Jake.
I like the Nyes play. I like some of these Leafs that have maybe been banged up. Stolarz showed us something in that last game as well. So if you're a Stolarz owner, you're hopeful, okay, a little bit more rest, and he comes out and he forms some sort of tandem with Joe Woll. So I don't mind that angle. And Meany, what do we do with Sergei Bobrovsky right now? We got a couple mailbag questions about Bob. I'm a Bob owner in a league. It has not been great this year. And Florida did everything they could to try to give that game away on Wednesday night against the Boston Bruins. They ultimately did get the 2 points, and they're going to be very desperate effort coming out of the break, but it has not been a good season for Bobrovsky. Maybe he's somebody that benefits from a little bit of time off and kind of hit the reset button here in February.
Yeah, it's a rough. It's rough. And they're missing Seth Jones, so their defense, they're just playing in a lot of high total games, and he's not playing great. So you look at the Olympic break, he's not going. Maybe, to your point, he can get some rest. If you're hurting a net, you know, potentially you can just see if you can get him, but it is risky. And if you have him and you're actually fine with your other goalie, I'd maybe make him available just on name value alone. Say, hey, listen, the Panthers have been in the Stanley Cup Finals 3 years in a row. There's no way, guys, they miss, although I do believe that they're in trouble. And they have a game against the Lightning tonight where we could see as many as 7 or 8 goals in the game, Nick. So I have some significant concerns about the Panthers at the moment and Bobrovsky.
Massive. And the Battle of Florida is always fun, but you wonder if Tarasov plays in that game. Bobrovsky, I don't know what that, like, it's been really, really disappointing. Like, I didn't draft him high in one of my leagues. I got him. If you guys recall, in a lot of the drafts, he was falling, and I guess people knew, they had that feeling that Florida was going to hit the wall, and here we are, and I think it's going to be tough sledding, as Jake alluded to make the Stanley Cup playoffs. Got a mailbag question about another goaltender, and I'm always careful to tread on this guy, but Linus Allmark's made a pair of starts here for the Ottawa Senators. He's got 2 wins. He's surrendered 2 goals or less in both. One game, .875 save percentage, the other .963. Jake, any interest in Linus Allmark for rest of season purposes here?
I do, only because I really like what I'm seeing from Ottawa defensively lately. He was really solid in that game against the New Jersey Devils. Didn't have to do too much in the other win. I believe it was against the Penguins, and they played really well defensively. And then we saw what happened to Ottawa the next night. They played a really good defensive game against Carolina. James Reimer had to get the start on the back-to-back, and he lets in a stinker to cost them the game. And I mean, he looks like, 37, 38-year-old James Reimer. So I think Ottawa's issues lie at the backup goaltending position, Meany, and that's kind of why I referenced that market, right? A John Quick or some of these other names that could possibly be out there. I think Ottawa might be a team that's in that market, even though it's still a long shot for them to make the playoffs. They need some depth. So as for Allmark means, I'm in. I think that I liked what I saw from him. Very small sample size in a couple of games here. And then he gets the, you know, a little bit of time to kind of reset. I think Allmark could have a really strong post-Olympic break.
I'm with you, yeah, and I see the worries. I understand them, Nick, right? I mean, there's been a lot of inconsistency in his game over the past couple years, really since they signed him, since he had that big season with the Boston Bruins. But, Jake, you bring up a lot of good points. You look at the Senators overall, 5-5, one of the stingiest teams. I think they're second in offensive zone time. They're actually a really good team at 5-5. They just haven't been able to get a save. So I think you can get him fairly cheap. We moved him up our rankings around a top 20 goalie. I think he does have upside to be a top 15. And Nick, we've talked about this all year long, right? Apart from the studs in net, there's been so much inconsistency with a lot of these goalies. I like the shout by Pete for Kemper. There's just not a lot of goalies that you can get right now. So it's kind of like hot and cold. I think Allmark's one of those guys. And I'd be buying the Sens in the second half as well. Even though the division, Pete, in the Atlantic, it's a lot of teams are playing really good in that division.
I mean, the whole East is so good. And go back in the tapes, right? A couple weeks ago when we mentioned Jet Greaves as a beneficiary Rick Bonus. They're 10-1, the Jackets, since Bonus came on. And Greaves is in one of those grooves right now. He's got 2 shutouts in his past 4 games, and he's climbing the goalie rankings as we speak as well. Only 65% rostered, by the way. You could probably still get him in a shallow league.
Yeah, it's interesting, too. Like, Elvis Merzlikins, he's been winning games, too, and the numbers have been good there. And all of a sudden, we want to stay very far away from Columbus's crease and that team in general. And even, like, since the Mason Marchment deal, it seems like that team got a bit of life, and now Rick Bonus comes in there, Jake, and every night it's a win for Columbus. They're really taking on that Buffalo DNA right now.
He's unlocked Elvis Merzlikins. Dean Evason clearly did not like Elvis Merzlikins. He wouldn't even play the guy on a back-to-back. There was a couple times this year where they actually played Jet Greaves in both games, and I thought, man, he really doesn't like Elvis. And then we find out afterwards, there was certainly some friction there. He's out. Everybody loves Rick Bonus. He comes in, he's jolly, he's happy. You know, they called him off the fishing boat to come in, and this team is playing really well. And Greaves is still getting his starts, like Pete mentions. You know, maybe still realistically possibly could be picked up, and Elvis got his confidence back. So means I'd say Columbus is probably top on the list of a team that does not want to see the break right now. They just want to keep playing. They got good vibes going. Hopefully this doesn't slow them down, because the Jackets have all of a sudden become a really good story, fantasy and otherwise.
Yeah, absolutely. Where do we rank that goalie tandem, guys? Are you kidding me? Yeah. Elvis and Jack Greaves. I mean, they've won 7 straight games. I agree with you. The break probably comes at a bad time, but there's a lot of players there that are still available on your waiver wire. Most likely Charlie Coyle is seeing a significant boost in ice time. He's been fantastic. Remains in that top power play. Nick, you bring up Mason Marchment. He's still available in leagues. I saw he was one of the most dropped players the other day. He's still playing on, you know, in the top line and getting some power play time as well. So the Blue Jackets are fun right now. They're just a handful of points back from a wild card spot. And I wanted to bring up the Pittsburgh Penguins as well, because there's been some questions, and we'll have you guys covered over the break. We'll have a cheat sheet diving into the playoff schedule, but looking, you know, ahead, and there's, I think there was one question, somebody's like in first place with 16 wins. You're probably fine, but just don't sit back, right? I think if you're in a comfortable spot, you could maybe buy low on a guy that's hurt, like Leo Carlson and Braden Point. I don't know if we'll see any of those guys. Certainly not going to see Leo Carlson over the break play for Team Sweden, but maybe you can buy on those guys. And I was looking ahead at just the schedule, week 22 and week 23. There are 6 teams that have 4 games in each of those weeks: the Bruins, the Rangers, the Devils, the Canadiens, the Senators, and the Flyers. The Pittsburgh Penguins have 5 games in that week, which is pretty crucial. Chinnikov, I think, is a must add right now. He's just been so good alongside Evgeny Malkin, and Anthony Mantha, Alberga, is scoring goals. And I thought a month ago he'd be a guy that the Penguins would trade at the deadline. They may just keep this guy. He's, you know, the top 9 looks pretty decent in Pittsburgh.
It is. You're right, and it's so wild when you think about our fantasy coverage last summer and how often we talked about Sidney Crosby, and it was a foregone conclusion. Pittsburgh stunk. They're going to be sellers at the trade deadline, and we're going to be talking about Crosby, Malkin, all these old dogs. Where are they going? And now we're at the Olympic break, and, you know, they're not firmly in a playoff spot, but Pittsburgh's feeling pretty damn good about life as they enter the Olympic break. But for some reason, Jake, like, if I had to look at a team that maybe loses steam down the stretch, for me, it has to be the Pittsburgh Penguins. I do feel like this is the time of year where the cream rises to the top. We love Macho Man. But I think the good teams start to figure out how to win hockey games late in the season. And I wonder if now is the time to sell off on Pittsburgh Penguins. Maybe it's an unfair take because they've had a great year, but I think you look at talent-wise alone compared to other teams in that fight, it's night and day for me, man.
Well, there are a lot of teams that have been going well in the East. We know that, and a lot of surprising teams. And for somebody, it's not going to go well post-Olympics. I don't know if it's going to be Pittsburgh or an Islanders or a Sabres or a Montreal Canadiens or Boston Bruins, one of these teams that have been winning a lot. And then you look at the standings, you go, oh, these teams should be locks for the playoffs. Like, there's no way they're missing. But all of a sudden, you know, that gap is only 5 or 6 points. You lose 3 or 4 in a row, and you're tied for a playoff spot. And all that good work that you did, you know, then you start to get feel the pressure down the stretch here, Meanie. So it's going to get tight, and those East teams are unrelenting at the bottom of the standings. I still like Pittsburgh, though, Nick. I'm going to continue to back this team. I like the vibes around this team. Malkin and Chinnikov seem to have formed a really nice tandem on that second line. They could even trade some pieces if they wanted, and I still think make a push at the playoffs. I think Kyle Dubas and the Pens can have their cake and eat it too here.
Yeah, Dubas has pushed the right buttons, you know, over the past couple of months. The Chinnikov buy low has been fantastic for them, and Malkin is aging like fine wine, and Stuart Skinner's been decent, you know, at moments for the Pittsburgh Penguins. Sheloff's been solid between the pipes, too. I'm not sold on them as, like, a contender, Nick, but I look at the Metro after Carolina, the Penguins, the Islanders, the Blue Jackets we've given some love to. What's going on with Washington? Inconsistent. Philadelphia was hot, now they're extremely cold, and the relationship between Michkov and Tocket, my goodness, that's a conversation for another day, but that is not going well for the sophomore forward in Philadelphia. So there's those teams that I just mentioned, most likely 2 of them are going to be a playoff squad by default, maybe.
Yeah, I think we're going to see, my call is 5 Atlantic teams and 3 Metro Division teams. We're going to hit the break. The other side, On the Money, brought to you by Bet365. Nick Alberga, Jay Conn, Chris Meany, and Pete Jensen with you. Don't go anywhere.
After 12 years, the wait is over. As hockey's best,
Jack Hughes puts it in,
compete for their country on the world stage.
Sebastian Aho!
How about another round of pasta?
If there's a will, there's a way.
NHL players return to the Olympic Winter Games in Milano Cortina, starting February 6th.
Adnan Virk here to talk about our great podcast, NHL Unscripted, with Virk and Demers.
Jason Demers here. After playing 700 NHL games, it turns out I have an opinion or two. The only place I'd like to see Sid go is Colorado. Yeah. That's really it.
Is there a chance the NHL returns to Arizona someday where you played?
Baby, come back. You could do it all on me.
Yes, we're coming back.
Tune in to NHL Unscripted with Virk and Demers on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to NHL Fantasy on Ice. Nick Alberga, Jay Kahn, Chris Meany, and Pete Jensen with you. Listen up, hockey fans. You won't want to miss this. Experience the thrill of NHL betting with Bet365, an official league partner with Bet365. You can create your own bets, build same-game parlays, and take advantage of early payouts when your team goes up 3 goals. Bet on every exciting moment on the ice, from goals and points to shots and saves. Bet on the NHL with Bet365 and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365, an official betting partner of the NHL. Must be 19 or older, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you or someone you know has concerns about gambling, visit ConnexOntario.ca. A 7-game slate here, Jake, to finish up the pre-Olympic slate for the NHL. I'm looking, firstly, a team I want to tap into off the top, Los Angeles, on the road in Vegas. Give me the LA Kings against Vegas tonight, Jake.
On the back-to-back as well. And speculation if we're going to get Artemi Panarin. I want to see Artemi Panarin, and this it would be a really fun matchup to see him in this. And I'm going to the Carolina. I'm going to go to the other side of that trade, Nick, and fade the New York Rangers. With or without Artemi Panarin, this is just a bad team. And I think some might look at it and say, okay, these teams got one foot on the plane to Cabo or maybe to Milan if they're going to play in the games. But I also look at it as I think good teams want to lay it all out there. Last game, we're not going to get to play for a little while. We're going to get a break. Carolina is obviously a better team than the New York Rangers, so it means I'm going to take the Canes in regulation. Canes on the puck line. I think they have no problem at Madison Square Garden on Thursday night.
Yeah, I totally agree. I like the puck line. I think he can, you know, have some fun with that top line. Svechnikov, Seth Jarvis is in the article, the goal chase for me. He's got goals in 4 straight against the Rangers, and Aho's been cooking as well. And Sebastian Aho is nearly plus money for, or not Sebastian Aho, Shane Gostisbehere, rather, is nearly plus money for a point. And he's been a fantastic from a point per game standpoint. He's among the leaders on the blue line, and he's been great since he's been back in the lineup. But they can go anywhere between Tampa and Florida. Kucherov, my gosh, 39 points in his last 15 games, 12 more than Pasternak. All of a sudden, he is 6 back of McDavid for the league lead, leading the NHL in points per game, Nick. 1.8. How can you not take the 2-point prop? Radish has goals in 5 straight, 9 points over that span, and 3-plus shots in 6 straight, and he's nearly plus money for 3 shots. That game should be a whole lot of fun tonight.
Electric. And guys, I haven't looked, but I think a month and a half into the season, I took a flyer on Kucherov to come back and win the Art Ross. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I wonder what that payout looks like right now. He has just been so money in the bank, and you're right, every night 2, 3, 4 points for Kucherov. And my boy John Cooper, he's got to win a Jack Adams in his career. It has to be this year. Majority of the season without Victor Hedman hasn't mattered. Got the most set of Radish. Vassie's been great. Kucherov's been great. Points missed time. Like, this is the year for John Cooper to win the Jack Adams here, Jake.
That Art Ross that you mentioned, Nick, if you did scoop up a good number, out of the 4 guys competing for it at the top, Kucherov's the only one that's going to get any sort of rest in February here. So maybe feeling nice coming out of the break, right? McDavid, McKinnon, they're going to put a lot of energy into, and Celebrini going to put a lot of energy into to trying to win that gold medal for Team Canada. If we're talking awards, Meany, I got my eye on Zach Werenski and what he's doing with Cale Makar and that Norris Trophy. I think would have been an afterthought a couple months ago to think, okay, this is Makar's award, nothing to see here. Werenski's going to take a run at 30 goals, and Makar's production has slowed down a little bit based on his standards. So I like Zach Werenski and where he's at, especially if Columbus makes a playoff push. Still looking at Thursday night here as well, means New York Islanders against the New Jersey Devils. Give me the Islanders. The Devils to me just look cooked. They look done. They look neat. They look like they need the break really bad. No Jack Hughes in this game. I'm going to take the Isles. I just have way more confidence in them right now.
Jack Hughes kills me, man, in some of these post-game scrums, and he was asked, you know, the Devils, what do you say to the Devils fans that are like not feeling you guys right now? He's like, nothing. I don't say anything to them. Straight up, I don't care what you think. There's a lot of interesting plus money point props. I know I've mentioned Chinnikov a couple times, but he's got 7 points in his last 7 games, 11 and 17 games with Pittsburgh. Played a season high 17 minutes in his last game, and Malkin's got 14 points in his last 14. Look at those two guys. Sortif and Protas are both plus money. Sortif has 7 points in 9 games. He actually leads the Caps in goals and points in 16 games since December 31st. The Preds have allowed 11 goals over the last two. They coughed up 6 last night, and the fourth most goals and the fourth most shots since January 1st. And then Barbashev. Eichel and Stone are not getting a lot of respect either, but they're among the leaders in points. Kucherov's has been unreal, but since January 1st, Eichel and Stone are roughly top five, and Barbashev has goals in four straight, as I mentioned, and three-plus shots, Nick, in four straight, and he's plus money as well.
Oh, that's dynamite stuff. I found my bet, by the way, plus 5,000 placed on November 30th for Kucherov to win the Art Ross Trophy. So maybe we'll extract some value there, Means.
That's fantastic. You brought that up, and it made me think about the Central. Jake, I think we brought up too. P, I want to get your thoughts on this. I think Colorado is minus 4,000 on Monday to win the Central. 2 weeks ago, the Stars were 75-1 to win that division, and now 16-1 today. Minnesota was 80-1 to win that division. Minnesota is now 28-1. They're just a handful of points behind Colorado. I know the Avs have a couple games in hand, but if we're looking for something here, the Stars and the Wild seem to pick up points every single night. I don't want an injury to happen, but if something happened to Makar and something happened to McKinnon, Pete, there is extremely good value on one of those two teams to maybe chase down the Avs. This was a lock 3 weeks ago. It doesn't seem like that big of a lock right now for Colorado to win that division.
And something else to think about, these teams have so many guys going to the Olympics, so definitely be watching the Olympics and pull the trigger on Dallas or Minnesota. Minnesota has like more guys. Don't they have like nine guys going to the Olympics or something like that? I mean, they are just loaded. Shocker. So yeah. Let's see if they can get out of it unscathed as far as injuries, and then maybe, you know, if Colorado gets tired out, you could see one of those two teams jumping them down the stretch of the season. Especially, I do not like the way that Colorado's been playing lately at all.
Petey props, you got anything here? Any bets you like tonight?
Buffalo has three defensemen with at least 10 goals, including Samuelson. Samuelson has been on a tear this year. You could still get him at plus 700 for an anytime goal. He's up to 11 this season. So I like that angle as well. And then you look at, I was looking, Florida is actually plus money to make the playoffs, which is crazy to think about. So I just wanted to pinpoint that. I know they got a lot of ground to make up, but they are getting some of these bodies back, right? Marchand, Matthew Tkachuk, Lindell's back the other day. So they're starting to get the band back together, and maybe after the break, they start to hit the ground running here.
Yeah, the math is ugly on a lot of these teams. Let's call a spade a spade. And I really, really wonder about this Florida Panthers team. But we'll see. Nobody wants to call it. Nobody wants to call the state of Florida here because it's the Florida Panthers. I might just do it. Just look out during the Olympic break. I'll be down in Jamaica next week. Maybe I'm going to call it from poolside. Ooh. So the boys got you covered coming up on Monday for the Olympic previews to get ready for the games. Don't forget to check out Seth Jarvis on NHL Unscripted as well. Thank you to producer Bob Bender. For Jay Kahn, Chris Meaney, and Pete Jensen, I'm Nick Alberga. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice. Take care.